Ms. Ruth Weiner, together with my colleague Bess Karelitz, on December the 29th, 1999, just a few days before the turn of the century, and we are interviewing Hilda Kreimer, who wants to put some interesting additions and inserts into her tape, things that she did recollect but that are really, truly interesting. Hilda, before you start with this, you were telling us a story about your mother and her work experience. Do you remember that? She was working, how she felt about the fact that
she was.
Tell us about that.
She was embarrassed because she went to work, and you know, she was an educated, very educated woman. I think she spent in Baltimore, in Frederick, Maryland. I think she spent a year or so at Hood College. And when my father died and she didn't want to run the shoe store, she took some night courses to brush up on things, and then being a politician, she was able to get a political job, and she was a secretary in the Department of Accounting at the City County Building, and there she stayed until she retired, but was never telling anybody that she went to work. And she would leave every day and go to work, and of course very often I would pick her up after hours, after school for me. But she never let us tell anybody she was working.
Things have changed.
It was something that she felt that was embarrassing, because women in those days did not work. She didn't want to run the store, and fortunately, because she was so active in politically, that's why she was able to get such a very nice position. And having as neighbors someone like the secretary to the mayor didn't hurt her. And that's where she was. And you know, when any contractors were going to bid on some city job, they would bring their bids into this particular office. And she was right there to get these bids. At Christmas time, you'd have to go in and pick her up because these contractors used to bring gifts in. And she was quite overloaded with gifts at the time. These are things that you kind of stay with you.
Yes.
Sort of happy memory. And but she was very active that time. And you know, she belonged to a bowling league that was run by the people in her office. And she went once a week to the bowling league. She also was with a group that were theater goers. And she went every Tuesday afternoon, I don't know how she got off work, but she did, to the Davis Theater, which was vaudeville. Davis Theater was vaudeville in downtown Pittsburgh. And whenever I had a day off from school, she immediately got a ticket for me. And you two girls are too young to remember Gus Edwards. And Gus Edwards was a great one for finding children, talented children. And she always managed to take me to see Gus Edwards because he was always presenting children in his act. Trying to think of the name of the theater that was on Liberty Avenue. Liberty at that time was a nice place. but it was vaudeville theater that she went to. But the Davis Theater I remembered very well. I also remember the Album Theater that she built. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
You do? Okay. And you remember that the Nixon Theater was across the street from Kaufman on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, yes.
No, Sixth Avenue. Was it? From Gimbel's.
Secondly, first, it was right across from Kaufman.
Well, I remember that. I remember going there. And then they moved down to Liberty Avenue.
Yes, then they moved to Liberty Avenue.
Mm-hmm. You had a lot of cultural activity then, Linda.
Yes, she did a lot of things. She did a lot of things. And
tell us about these wonderful things now.
This is about when she grew up in Baltimore.
Yes.
And one of the things I feel I should leave out here is a comment that she wondered why he didn't permit bar mitzvahs in the temple when he himself had been bar mitzvahed.
Oh, I think
that's good.
Put that in, absolutely.
All right, that was expressing
criticism,
but not...
Well, it's a criticism of the, if you wish, of the entire movement at that time. Mm-hmm. Not just a rabbi in the temple. But tell us about it.
Well, shall I just read this thing?
If you're comfortable doing that.
Okay.
Beautifully written.
My mother grew up in Baltimore, as did Rabbi Freehoff, who was rabbi of Rosh Hashanah Temple. My mother was very friendly with Rabbi Freehoff's sister when they were young ladies. My mother was at Rabbi Freehoff's bar mitzvah in Baltimore. When Rabbi Freehoff came to Pittsburgh and to Rosh Hashanah as head rabbi, my mother went to see him, and needless to say, they had a pleasant reunion. As time went on and the congregants of Rosh Hashanah wanted their children to have a bar mitzvah, Rabbi Freehoff would not permit it. This was something my mother could not understand, since Rabbi Freehoff himself had a bar mitzvah. When this no bar mitzvah rule was in effect, Tree of Life prospered. Rosh Hashanah members who wanted a bar mitzvah for their child or children joined Tree of Life for the duration of training and the event itself. After the bar mitzvah, they would resign from Tree of Life. But in the meantime, we at Tree of Life made money. I wish I had said on the tape that I wanted to be active in NCJW, because I was so impressed with the many worthwhile projects they sponsored. But at that time, I was called and asked to return to teach in the Pittsburgh Public School System, and to a very desirable school, Midland Junior High School. I believe I gave you the impression that after graduating from college, my friends were mainly from Rosh Hashanah. My Rosh Hashanah friends were classmates and sorority sisters of Pitt. After graduation, our friendships continued, and after marriage, our socializing also continued. When I became active in the Tree of Life congregation, I made friends there that my husband and I socialized with as well. My husband was an officer of the congregation at one time and also served on the Board of Trustees. He chaired the philanthropic committee for a number of years. My daughter was a very active member of the Tree of Life Religious School Committee. She served on that committee for several years, even after her sons had their bar mitzvah and were confirmed. Going back to when her sons were attending Sunday school and Hebrew school, the Churchill community had a large number of Tree of Life families living there. She was on the committee that established a satellite Sunday school and Hebrew school for Tree of Life children living in Churchill, so they did not have to travel after school to Squirrel Hill. This was highly successful. The classes met in a church whose classrooms were a separate part of their complex, completely removed from their sanctuary. When the school system in Churchill was forced to merge with the depressed communities, Braddock and Rankin, many Tree of Life families moved to Squirrel Hill, and those who did not move transferred their children to private schools. As a result, the decline in enrollment forced the Churchill Satellite School to close. So once again, the children whose parents stayed in Churchill had to attend classes in Squirrel Hill. Gilberta chaired very successful, unique young adult events for the congregation, which brought many young couples together at the synagogue. There were three theatrical productions presented by the congregation that were very successful fundraisers. The cast for these shows was made up of Tree of Life members. My daughter Gilberta, who loves to dance, was in the dancing chorus of all three productions. The first, Dare to Dream in 1987. I was co-author and producer. This was performed at the Eddy Theater on the Chatham College campus. The second, Rags to Riches, 1992, was also at the Eddy Theater, and I served as producer of this one also. The third, Tree of Life, Tree of Laughs, 1995, my daughter Gerberta was co-producer with Robin Elson, whose husband was the star, Howard Elson. This production was at the Stephen Foster Memorial Theater on the Pitt campus. All of these productions had a professional director and choreographer. When my son-in-law Stanley Goldman was drafted into being one of the dance numbers, and he ached for days. Not only were these shows good fundraisers, but the cast became friends. This was great for the congregation. By the way, Stanley Goldman served as an officer of the congregation and chaired the Budget and Finance Committee. This was a natural chairmanship, being a CPA. When I took office as president of the Tree of Life Congregation, one of the things I was anxious to do was to have something for the so-called singles. This was 1982. I called together the singles I knew and added a few who were not members of the congregation, but I knew we would eventually get them to join if they liked what we were doing. My idea was to have an event that was more far-reaching than just meeting the boy or girl next door. So I convinced them, the committee, to have a big opening event, the usual reception with wine and so forth. The difference would be to invite singles from the tri-state area, hire a disc jockey who knew how to lead the dancing. Invitations, publicity, and so forth went to Ohio, West Virginia, as well as locally. To make a long story short, 500 were in attendance. It was a blast, and to say the least, was exciting. Everyone was friendly, and we all liked the idea of meeting new people, and naturally I was thrilled. How many marriages came from this, I will never know. But everyone praised the event. Smaller dances followed, but then many organizations started to have singles parties, and eventually they seemed to have disappeared. But I did throw the big one. I guess this report comes under things to remember. I just remembered this. When I became president of the congregation, I established an endowment fund. It wasn't really my idea, since I'm not very knowledgeable about investments. At least I wasn't at that time. The idea of my establishing an endowment fund came from Al Raisman, who was about to become president of Rhoda Shalom Congregation. He called to congratulate me on becoming president of Tree of Life Congregation, and he said to me, "Do you have a particular project in mind to establish during your presidency?" To which I answered no. And then he said, "Start an endowment fund. That's the only thing that will keep your doors from closing." I started an endowment fund, and it is still going strong.
Aren't they wonderful, wonderful recollections? Tell us more about Gerberta.
As a very small child, I don't know whether her humor was noticeable. I will tell you one incident that happened when she was in kindergarten. She went to Colfax School, and they had a student teacher, and the regular teacher said to them, "We have a secret. We're going to have a party for the student teacher because she's leaving us tomorrow. And nobody's to tell her because this is a surprise." So the next day when the student teacher came, Gerberta happened to tell her that there was going to be a party for her the next day. So the regular teacher was so annoyed that she really gave Gerberta a hard time. Gerberta came home, did not go back to kindergarten the next day for the party. That was one of the times when I wanted to go back to school and tear the teacher's hair out. But I thought twice about it. These little funny things have come back to you. I often ask to Bertha, do you remember doing this? You know, and she said,
I think you've done a wonderful job, and we're truly glad we came back for the things that you had remembered and added to our.
When you first came, I didn't know quite what you were going to be asking. And just like I didn't even remember the ward I grew up in, it was the 20th ward, I said 24th. And then after you left, I started to think of all these other little things, you know. And there's so many things that's funny about your birthday that I can't even recall them all now. But I'll call and say, Jabir, you know what I just remembered? And I'll say, do you remember that? Yeah, I really do. I really remember that. She was fun to be with, I'll tell you. She was a character. She's become a good teacher. Kids love it. I mean, that's her humor after the children. And I visited there, and I saw this, where the children would come up and say things to her because they knew how she was going to accept it, and she would laugh with them. Kids they all arrived at the same time because the children had bussed in. And I stood out in the hall and watched. And when these kids came in, they would walk over and hug her. Then they would go hang their coats up. And I just thought that was a wonderful thing.
What school did you teach
at? It's a it's the Woodland Hills district. But she taught first in the Pittsburgh Public School. She taught for 5 years. And then she started her family, and of course they moved to Churchill, so she didn't continue in Pittsburgh, but then started to teach in Churchill. Wilkins Elementary School in Woodland Hills is where she is teaching. And it's a school that has three grades, and there's about five sections of third grade in the school. Naturally, they are bussed in from every year. And she loves her job. She loves the kids, and
Do we have a birth date for her?
Pardon?
Do we have a birth date for her?
Yeah, Jaberta was born April the 29th, 1946, right at the end of the war. I became pregnant in San Francisco. When I tried to have a child, and it wasn't very successful, and I said to Dr. Gilmore, I'm going to California, and I will come back home if I get to be pregnant. And he said, if you don't get to be pregnant in California, that Chamber of Commerce is not living up to all its promises. So, but it did happen. At the time that it happened, we were in San Francisco. My husband, a dentist, had been made. This sounds so big that I don't know if it's true. He was a dental surgeon of the Third Air Force, based in San Francisco, and his headquarters was at the Presidio. And I got to see generals and colonels all the time. There were plenty of them. And that was it.
Let us thank you again.
I just don't know.
It's been a pleasure to
if this was worth recording.
Oh, yes, we're glad we came back, truly, to get the things you've added to it.
I just, Oh, can't think of anything.
Well, it's been wonderful.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been.
Yeah. You girls make me feel what I am not.
Not so, not so. Our thanks to you.
Oh, this is